بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد ابن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and has put us on this planet. Allah azza wa jalla has used our parents as a means for us coming into this world. And Allah azza wa jalla uses us as a means of getting our children here as well. So clearly we have a biological relationship with our parents, with our children, with our siblings. And of course we have a very special physical relationship as well with our spouse, with the other parent of our children as well. But these relationships are more than just physical and biological. They are also emotional because they involve feelings. These relationships involve feelings as well. And on top of that, and perhaps most importantly, these relationships are actually spiritual as well, because they involve also our personal connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can't be connected with each other without actually being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, if you're to do it properly. Today, we find a move towards detachment, right? More focus on the individual, detaching ourselves from others. So first, it began by detaching ourselves from our extended family, right? So the initial detachment for many of us started with a distance between us and our uncles, our aunts, our cousins, right? So things today are not the way they used to be, maybe a generation or two ago, when everyone would be closely knit, everyone would be living together in one place. So first the distancing began between what we now call our extended family. And then perhaps with our grandparents. Now that doesn't mean we don't love them and we don't care for them, but we're not attached in the same way that people used to be in the past. And now, as we move forward in that same direction, we find even a detachment with our parents and our siblings. Now, of course, there are exceptions, but I'm referring to the general trend in society. And in fact, if you think about it, what seems like is happening is that society is actually adopting some of the characteristics of the Day of Judgment right now in this world. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in Surah Al-Abbas, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. The day, that day shall a man flee from his brother, وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ, and from his mother and his father, وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ, and from his wife and his children, لِكُلِّ مِرِيمٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. Every one of them will be too engaged in his own affairs to care for others. لِكُلِّ مِرِيمٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. So every one of them will be too engaged in his own affairs, in his own business, in her own business, to care for others. And we're also seeing some of the signs indicating the closeness, the nearness towards the day of judgment. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said in a hadith, which has some slight issues with it, may have some, you know, questionable chain of narration, but nonetheless, Prophet ﷺ reported to have said that among the signs of the approaching of the hour, meaning the approaching of the day of judgment, أَطَاعَ الرَّجُلُ زَوْجَتَهُ وَعَقْتَ أُمَّهُ, that when a man obeys his wife and disobeys his mother. Another sign, وَبَرَّ صَدِيقَهُ وَجَفَى أَبَاهُ, and treats his friends kindly while shunning his father. So you see a change in approach and a change in priorities as we get closer to the day of judgment. So these are some of the things that we find happening nowadays. So my brothers and sisters, let us briefly take a look at the examples and teachings that we find regarding our family relationships. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ, be careful of your duty towards Allah Azza wa Jal, be conscious of Allah, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear Allah, have the reverent fear of Allah, in whom you claim your rights for one another, and towards the womb, meaning the ties of kinship, the relationships that are established through blood. So these relationships are so valuable and so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned a duty upon us towards them, towards these relationships. And of course there are a number of ahadith as well where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam talks about this. So what we learn is, in reality, maintaining these relations, solidifying, refreshing these relationships is actually an act of obedience and worship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's come to our parents, because of course, if it wasn't for our parents, we wouldn't be here. We are connected to our parents in a very, very important way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not enjoined upon us specifically to clothe our parents in their old age, or to feed them, or to take care of them. These are not the terms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used. But rather Allah Azza wa Jal prescribes upon us ihsan towards our parents. Ihsan is the word that has been used. Not specific, you know, things to do, a to-do list. No, it's ihsan. Be good, kindness, goodness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left it open. He has left it open, so it includes emotional needs as well. It includes emotional needs as well. And so much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first talks about the most important thing, which is tawheed, not prescribing any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, to highlight its importance. Do not ascribe partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't worship anyone else, and do good unto your parents. وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ, and lower to them the wing of humility. مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ, out of mercy. Humility and mercy coming together. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا, and say, my Lord, have mercy upon them as they brought me up when I was small. Right? So Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us, number one, to do something, and it involves emotions. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about mercy. He's talking about humility. So these are not just physical actions. This is the state of feeling. This is the state of emotions. This has to do with our spirituality. Be in the state of kindness or do kindness unto your parents, do good unto your parents in the state of humility, in the state of mercy. See, so there's emotion involved here, there's spirituality involved here. It's not just about paying the bills, making sure they're fed, right, driving them around to appointments. It's not just a to-do list. It involves emotion, it involves spirituality, and then praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Turning and supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well for them. So we see all of this coming together. So physical actions, emotions, spirituality, and connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially with regards to our mother, and I'm sure our mothers, and I'm sure we have heard this hadith numerous times when a man came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, who from amongst mankind, who from amongst all people, warrants the best companionship from me? Imagine that, out of all people, out of everyone in this world, right? Who deserves, warrants the best companionship from me? So if I'm going to spend time, it's going to be the best quality time. If I'm going to give attention, it's going to be the most attention that I give. If I speak, it's going to be the most engaged conversation that I have. Prophet ﷺ replied, your mother. So the man was curious, he said, who next? And again, your mother. Now of course, there's only one mother, right? One real biological mother, you have grandmothers and so on, and other aunts that you also consider to be your mother. But otherwise, right, there's one mother. She says, your mother. He says, then asked again, who next? Prophet ﷺ, again, your mother. The man then asked, then who? He replied, then your father. So what does this tell us? That the four closest people to us should be our parents. Now it doesn't add up, right, when you do math. But in terms of the importance, in terms of our priorities, in terms of the importance of good companionship, and how we choose to spend our time, and the quality of the time that we spend in the conversations and the engagement that we have, we know that first, 75% for our mother, 25% for our father. And then everyone, well, that's 100%, so then there's nothing left, right? But out of everything that you're going to do, you know where the emphasis is, and of course it's towards our mothers and then to our fathers. And the parents, of course, also have responsibilities upon them, right? Because sometimes, you know, it's different. You're growing up, right, and you learn about, okay, you should respect your parents and you try your best and you do all that, right? But then you grow up and now you're a parent yourself. You're like, yeah, it's payback time, right? It's time for our kids now to, you know, it's now my turn to get everything that their parents got, right? But it's not a one-way street, right? It's a two-way street. So parents also, of course, have responsibilities. And apart from just, you know, the nourishment and the physical upkeep and support and diapers and food and clothing and school and all of that, is a responsibility to teach, to guide, to give tarbiyah, good character, good conduct, good morals through, you know, examples, setting a good example, being a good role model, talking about things, you know, bringing up things that are happening either around the world or any issue comes up. You know, I usually don't go to drop off my daughter to school because we carpool, so I'm usually picking them up in the afternoon. But the few days when I do have to go in the morning, those are some of the times when I have the most engaging conversations with her, because she's in the car, I'm in the car, we're alone, it's in the morning, mine's fresh, she's not tired. Even though sometimes my kids wake up and they're like, I'm tired in the morning. I'm like, you can't be tired in the morning, right? You're just being lazy. Okay, but so mind is fresh, and you know, it's an excellent time to have important conversations. Talk about something that's happening in the world, right? And give an Islamic perspective. Talk about what they see, talk about what's happening. And you know, I actually believe that we shouldn't, like, my approach is not to dumb down our children. Because sometimes you think, okay, they're children. Yes, they are, but they actually understand a lot more than we, you know, than we actually perceive. Okay, so, you know, bring up topics, bring up discussions, talk to your children, ask them what they think, and give them your perspective. You know, so have that quality time, and this is part of the responsibility that we have towards our children. Again, it's not just the physical, right? It's not just taking care of the logistics, but it's actually having that connection. As well, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Oh, you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire. So we have a responsibility to guide them, but we have to understand the limits of that responsibility as well. Okay? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, protect them, it's not at all costs, meaning that you start infringing upon their rights, you start breaking laws, start causing more harm and more damage just to protect them from the fire. That's counterproductive. Okay, so it has to be done in a way which is appropriate, but nonetheless there is a responsibility upon us and a responsibility that should be taken seriously. When it comes to our grandparents, it's the same as our parents, if not more. Prophet ﷺ has told us that لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيَعْقِرْ قَبِيرَنَا, that he is not from amongst us who does not show mercy to our young ones and respect our old ones. Right? So again, it's a two-way street. Mercy to the youngsters, respect towards the elders. The Prophet ﷺ has also told us that a young man, a young person does not honor an older person on the account of their age, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints someone to show reverence to them in their old age. So if you look out, if we look out for our seniors, for our elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint people who will do the same for us, inshaAllah, when we reach that stage of our lives. When it comes to our spouses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us very clearly that this is a very special connection that we have. It's from amongst His signs. The signs of the greatness of Allah. The signs of the power and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An ayah that I'm sure you've heard countless times at every wedding, Muslim wedding that you've gone to. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. How many people actually have memorized that verse by now? Because you've heard it so many times. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is great by the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and have His signs, is that He created from you, for you, from among yourselves, from yourselves, mates, that you may find tranquility in them, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, and He placed between you affection and mercy. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is actually talking about the actual characteristics of the companionship that comes with marriage. And the Prophet ﷺ himself had a very close and intimate relationship and closeness with his wives. Right? It wasn't just about, what do I need to do for you? What are my responsibilities? Alright, you're done, goodbye. I'm going out to hang out with my friends. That's not what it was about. Okay, that's not to say that you can't have friends after you get married. Of course you can. But Prophet ﷺ was close with his wives. Right? For example, he would rest his head in their laps, wipe tears, offer comfort. They would comb his hair, even drink and eat from the same spot. Right? So, and the Prophet ﷺ also encouraged us to even feed our wives, to feed our spouse with our own hands, right? An act of charity. Right? So Prophet ﷺ also, you know, spent time together, watching sports, other pastimes, even racing together, right? Calling with affectionate names. And the responsibilities were then also split, right? So there was this mutual care and concern. The responsibilities were split in the sense that primarily, the primary responsibility for earning and ensuring the well-being of the family was upon Prophet ﷺ, upon the husband. And the primary responsibility for nurturing the children, managing the household, was with the wife. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that you can't share responsibilities. That doesn't mean that it always necessarily must be that way. But that's the example that the Prophet ﷺ has shown to us. When it comes to our children, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was very close to his children, but in particular to his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. And of course, to her children. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam kissed Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma while a companion by the name of Aqra ibn Habis was sitting nearby. And we've mentioned this hadith before. And he saw that and he said, I have 10 children, I've never kissed one of them. Think about that. I have 10 children, mashallah. I have 10 children, but I've never kissed one of them, even one of them. So the Prophet ﷺ looked at him and he said, those who show no mercy will be shown no mercy. And Anas radiallahu anhu relates that I never saw anyone more compassionate to his family than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The wet nurse of his son Ibrahim, so meaning the woman who was feeding him initially, lived in one of Medina's border neighborhoods, right? So along the edge of the village of the town, and the husband of the wet nurse was a blacksmith. So you can imagine what kind of environment that was. Going there every day to the smoke-filled house, the Prophet ﷺ would embrace and sniff and kiss the child. And this is recorded in Sahih Bukhari. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ made a point to go every day and show affection to his son. And some other hadith show his love for children, you know, hugging them, kissing them, carrying his grandchildren on his back, other children as well, playing with them, you know, engaging with them, talking to them, even when they're just playing on the street, right? Children in the neighborhood. So these are just, my brothers and sisters, some of the teachings that we find in our tradition that show a strong family bond, that show that this is what we should be aiming for. A bond that is built on care and compassion and love, but also as a duty to each other. It's reciprocal. And most importantly, as a duty to Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? So we love our family members, but we love them out of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His pleasure. So ultimately, our goal with our love is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain His pleasure, to get Him to love us. And because of that, Allah subhanahu, we know that Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to love our family members and to have these connections, and therefore we should work on strengthening them as much as possible. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, encouraged togetherness as a family. For example, the importance of having a meal together. There is a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam that he encouraged us to eat together. He said, "Eat together all of you and do not separate individually, because the barakah is in the group." Eat together all of you, do not separate individually, because the barakah, the blessings, are in the group. So in the past, and in many places still, families, people eat together in one dish, or they eat in one big plate. Okay, well, we stopped doing that, right? That at least there used to be an emphasis on having a meal together. You knew at 6 o'clock, at the 6 o'clock news would be on, everyone would be sitting on the dinner table, or perhaps the news was not on, but you would be, you know, everyone is expected to come around the dinner table, and you eat, and you build your bonds. And it's interesting, you know, I was looking at a study, over the past 15 years, researchers have actually confirmed this, that sharing a meal, a family meal, is good for the spirit, the brain, and the health of all family members. Right? And recent studies have actually linked the act of having a family meal with many behaviors that we actually want as parents in our children. So lower rates of substance abuse, teen pregnancy, depression, higher GPAs, higher self-esteem, right? Better vocabulary. It's actually said to be a better vocabulary booster than reading. And the stories told around the dinner table, or that used to be told, actually help our children build resilience, right? Plus, on top of that, the studies actually show that they also contribute to lowering rates of obesity and eating disorders in children and adolescents. So my brothers and sisters, let us think about our own relationships with our family members. Do they fit these descriptions that we've heard about? Do they fit these guidelines? How can they be improved? And the way they are right now, are they the way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or are they not? Right? And the one that is pleasing, the state of the family that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a family which is well connected, where the hearts are united, you know, even if there are some issues, there's no hate or meanness or anger between people. This is the type of family situation we should be aiming for. And there are many of us who have encountered or who are encountering difficulties. So for that I say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you. When, I mean, look, no one is perfect, no family is perfect, everyone has their ups and downs. Okay? But when dealing with challenges, we always, and this is not just for our families, but when dealing with any challenge, we always want to try to minimize harm. Okay, so despite the anger that may exist, despite the frustrations or the mistrust, we want to minimize harm to others. And we also, in that process, minimize harm to ourselves as well. Right? Because at the end of the day, what we want to be aiming for is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Despite the challenges we are facing, we want to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. Okay, so we want to do the things which are actually going to minimize harm. So if actually, you know, if there's a step that we need to take that involves, you know, if a situation involves physical harm and we need to take a step to stop that, then that's a step that perhaps that should be taken. Right? And I know it can be very difficult because there's so many considerations, there's so many connections, but you know, these are situations that can be very challenging. And my call to you is, if there is a situation that you're having trouble dealing with, the earlier you start dealing with it, the better, number one. Number two, seek help. Talk to people. Right? Come and talk to me. Talk to someone else. And we can try to advise you and help you offer at least some support, inshaAllah, as much as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our family bonds. May Allah azza wa jalla clean our hearts. Make us part of families that are built and that experience love and kindness and support. Ameen wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And speaking of, you know, our mothers, we have two brothers, Roshan and Bader Chowdhury. Their mother passed away just recently here in Ottawa. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant her maghfirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate her ranks, grant her jannatul firdaus, not just for her, but for all of our loved ones, our parents, grandparents, our relatives, our children in some cases, spouses, whoever has passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him his mercy and forgiveness upon them. May Allah azza wa jalla increase their ranks. You know, make dua. It is very powerful. We don't see the effects. We don't see the effects right away, right? Especially for those who have passed away. But let us remember them and continue to supplicate for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to bless them, inshaAllah. Tonight, inshaAllah, we will continue this theme with our program, Quran Connect Plus. And the focus, inshaAllah, will be on marriage. So what should marriage be like? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, I touched upon it very briefly today. And examples from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in some detail as well. So this will be happening at 7:30, inshaAllah, in the Minto room, which is right across the hall from us. And everyone is welcome to join that, inshaAllah. There's no registration and it's free. Tomorrow, Saturday, there will be the youth program called Strive for boys ages 13 to 18, inshaAllah. And this is going to happen at 3:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. at 100 Walden Avenue.